Chapter 12. The First Question. Is it true? Quote, I shall try to correct errors when shown to be errors, and I shall adopt new views so fast as they shall appear to be true views. Unquote. Abraham Lincoln. I've heard estimates from those who engage in such accounting practices that the average adult has approximately 60,000 separate thoughts in a 24-hour period. Even more startling is that we think the same 60,000 thoughts today that we had yesterday and will have tomorrow. Thus, many of us go through our daily lives in a habituated pattern, endlessly repeating the same thoughts over and over and over again. Now let me add a little bit of fuel to this firestorm. I suggest that the vast majority of those continually reiterated notions, particularly those that fall into the excuse category, are very likely untrue. It then follows that we use our incomparably brilliant minds to obliviously process false thoughts on a daily basis. Is it true? Has to be the first challenge to this repetitious, habitual, and unconscious activity of making excuses. This first question in the excuses be gone paradigm will lead you to an awareness of the personal nature of your justifications. When you discover how your mind selects untrue thoughts to guide you, you'll also reveal a major impetus to ending that habit that has held you back from so much in life. Finding the truth in four popular excuses. If you were to discover that a thought you use to define who you are to yourself and others is false, would you want to continue using it? Obviously, I've posed this as a rhetorical question, since those who listen to a program titled Excuses Be Gone probably don't want to hang on to anything that is preventing them from improving their quality of life. It's far more beneficial and desirable to be guided by the simple teaching that the truth shall set you free. So be open to the truth as you listen to this chapter. Your honest answers will assist you enormously in unearthing your thought patterns. The question, is it true, demands that you determine whether or not you can be absolutely certain that those mental crutches you've been relying on are indeed accurate. If they're not, then you must decide right away to invalidate them. Using these excuses to hold you back from what you're drawn to or to be is akin to running your life on the basis of a lie. In the earliest days of our democracy, Thomas Paine wrote, quote, but such is the irresistible nature of truth that all it asks and all it wants is the liberty of appearing, unquote. This suggests that the truth only wants to show up. It doesn't wish to overwhelm or rule us. So let's allow the irresistible nature of truth to make its appearance now. Under close scrutiny, the old familiar explanations almost always turn out to be false. So it's important to test their truth. What follows is I'll use four of the 18 excuse categories I detailed in Chapter 3 to illustrate working with this first question in the new paradigm. First excuse, it will be difficult. This is certainly one of the most common excuses. Such a meme keeps you from fulfilling your highest vision, but is it even correct? Are you 100% certain that what you wish to accomplish is going to be a challenge? Is it plausible that what you desire isn't actually difficult, but might in fact require very little effort? While you may feel that it isn't likely, you have to admit that the possibility of its being easy rather than hard is real. Keep in mind that all of the seemingly impossible happenings that occur under the guise of what Carl Jung called synchronicity do so with a kind of ease and inexplicably bizarre twist of fate in which little or no effort is expended. This happens to us all quite frequently, particularly when we're more aligned with spirit than the material world. There seems to be what looks like a collaboration with destiny, and a magical connection takes place, making what was perceived to be hard rather easy. If the thought, it's going to be difficult, might not be true, then something could very well occur to make it not be difficult, which means that the habituated meme is false. So now you have a choice with this excuse. A, you can believe a thought, it's going to be difficult, that is very likely false and most assuredly preventing you from accomplishing what you want, or B, you can believe an opposite thought, it will be easy. That could also be false, yet still assist you in fulfilling your desires. When there's a choice, the notion that something is possible or easy is hands down more inviting than the one that insists it's impossible or difficult. So, which thought do you wish to hold? I recall the advice that I received concerning getting my first textbook published a year or so after completing my doctoral studies. This is what I kept hearing. It's going to be hard. Getting published is impossible. You're unknown. Who would want to publish what you, a 30-year-old novice, has to say? And the like. Yet I never bought into that logic. Consequently, I didn't adopt the "it's going to be difficult" excuse meme. I sent out 100 copies of my manuscript, and within a week I had 99 rejection letters. But I also had an offer from a small publisher in New Jersey. Essentially, what others thought of as a challenge didn't strike me as such. I knew instinctively that someone, somewhere, would be interested in what I had to say, and it all came about with relative ease. I also recall quite clearly my experience getting national publicity for Your Erroneous Owns, my first book written for the general public, in 1976. The experts all proclaimed that it was next to impossible to get booked on The Tonight Show, The Phil Donahue Show, The Today Show, and so on. This ready-made excuse would have been as good a reason as any to give up. As it turned out, Howard Papish, a talent coordinator on The Tonight Show, read Your Erroneous Owns on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. He called me to come out for a pre-interview, and I was booked on the program a week later. Over the next 3 years, I made 37 appearances on The Tonight Show, and I was a guest on virtually every other national talk show as well. It turns out that this first excuse didn't apply at all. It was actually quite easy to get national media coverage. I only had to answer the telephone. So once again, if the belief that it will be difficult isn't 100% true, why would you choose to support that notion? Never once in 1976 did I say that getting on a national TV show would be hard. I trusted that the universe would provide experiences that matched my desires and that it would all work out for my highest good. The most important point is that by staying aligned with this thinking, I had no need to fall back on a tired, old, and untrue excuse. Number two, there will be family drama as an excuse. This is one of those rationales people employ all the time to explain why they feel stuck or otherwise precluded from living the life they desire. On and on go the reasons for staying put and doing the bidding of family members. My parents would have a fit. Everyone would be so upset with me. No one in my entire family has ever done such a thing. I'd be labeled a troublemaker or a rebel. No one has ever stood up to my father before. It would be a nightmare, and so on. If you tend to use this excuse, ask yourself, can I be 100% certain that there will be family drama if I take the action I'm contemplating? Does the possibility exist that I could do the thing I desire and not generate any outbursts? If the potential exists that there won't be any problems, then this excuse has to go into the not true category. The opposite thought of there will be family drama is there will be no family drama if I carry out my plans as I would like them to unfold. You may think that without this excuse you'd be on the risky path of doing something you're avoiding, but think again. You have a choice to believe that there will either be a family disruption or there won't. Since either one has the potential to be true, why not opt for the thought that could bring about your desired result? By staying aligned with the idea of loved ones who will both understand and support you in your desire, you may very well see that happen. Or your relatives could indeed react in the disconcerting way that your excuse predicted. But which thought do you think is more likely to produce the kind of results you'd like to have? The point is that you cannot be absolutely certain of what this excuse predicts. So I urge you not to select an explanation for your habituated behavior that's most assuredly untrue. I can tell you with some degree of certainty that by not expecting to be impacted in a negative or fearful way, you have a much better chance of eliciting the reaction you want. You have a higher chance of your family members being supportive when you support your own desires and intentions. And do be willing to endure any disapproval you might face by asserting your strong beliefs about your purpose in life. That disapproval will most assuredly morph into respect, gratitude, and even awe. In my own life, I know that if I fail to show up for a cousin's wedding or an uncle's funeral or a grandchild's birthday party or any other family occasion, there will be no drama for me to deal with. I've taught my relatives that I'm uninterested in dealing with censure or nagging, so I never have to use this second excuse. You can bid adieu to this excuse yourself by simply asking, is it 100% true that I will incur censure from my loved ones if I, and you fill in the blank? Since you can't guarantee family drama all of the time, revise your thoughts to reflect that there won't be any, period. Now you can't be certain that some turbulent or emotional episodes won't occur, but at least you've set your mind on what you desire, and you're aligned with the idea of a peaceful family response. Cement your new reality by affirming, what I desire is already present and on its way. When you eliminate the belief that there will be family drama from your life entirely, you'll once again be reminded of what happens when you stay aligned with an expectation of the higher energy of peace, tranquility, and love. You'll be so much more likely to see this peaceful attitude emerge than if you're angry, frustrated, and hurt because no one understands you in your family. The third excuse, I can't afford it. I've always held a very different concept about my ability to create the necessary financing for anything I've wanted or needed. As you're probably aware, my background is foster homes, scarcities, economic depression, and having to work for everything I've ever had from the age of 9 with my first paper route, yet I've never allowed myself to use this third excuse. Let's examine this very common meme to see if it's true. Can you be 100% certain that you're unable to afford whatever it is that you would like to accomplish or purchase? If there's any doubt in your mind, no matter how unlikely prosperity may seem to you now, then you must reject this excuse. The opposite of I can't afford it is I can afford it, even if I don't know at the moment how I can make it all come true financially. Once again, the importance of this question regarding your ability to raise money becomes evident. If the thought I can afford it is true or false, and the same can be said of I can't afford it, then why ever opt for the idea that's almost guaranteed to keep you from reaching your goal? Perhaps you're convinced that you're in a position of being insolvent and unable to attract the financing for your dreams. One of the basic tenets of an excuses-begone mentality is that you get what you think about, whether you want it or not. Therefore, thinking about a dearth of cash aligns you with the concept of shortage and lack. The more you focus on what you don't have and can't get, the more you provide the universe with opportunities to offer up experiences that reflect those beliefs. By asserting that you can't afford something, you constantly confirm this expectation, which, by the way, is just as likely to be untrue as it is to be true. The belief itself becomes the source of what you attract. It serves as an obstacle to a universe of unlimited abundance. I'm sorry to tell you that there's no solution for scarcity-focused thought processes. Rather, you have to outgrow this kind of immature thinking by reminding yourself that it makes much more sense to assert that you're prosperous instead of focusing on, I can't afford it. Attract the universal guidance that will help rather than the kind that hinders. Right here, right now, state, quote, I can never be absolutely certain that the financing I need or desire is not on its way. Thus, the belief I can't afford it is false, and I refuse to let myself use this excuse, unquote. This is not about helping you manifest more money, although that's certainly a possibility. It's about helping you eliminate the excuse of I can't afford it from your life because using it keeps you aligned with lacks, shortages, and pain. Loving what you have and being in a continual state of contentment is the key to having what you want. Also, being willing to contemplate that whatever assistance you need is on its way, even when you can't predict where it's coming from, this helps you live in alignment with the laws of the universe. Since this is a universe of unlimited abundance, why have thoughts contrary to that truth? I've always said that what I need financially is not only on its way, but will arrive on time and is always for my highest good. In fact, it already exists. All I have to do is connect myself to it. Call me crazy, if you will, but this kind of thinking has served me unfailingly. The falsity of I can't afford it is even more pronounced now in my 60s. As I stay unattached to what comes my way and offer it to others in as generous a fashion as I can. This doesn't mean that I simply open the windows and money flies in. Rather, it allows me to act on thoughts that have no room for scarcity. I act on what I believe, and I refuse to believe that money is a reason not to do anything. Throughout my life, I've been surprised on many occasions when financing for a project of mine just seemed to manifest out of nowhere. When I was a young sailor who desperately wanted to attend college for my enlistment, for instance, the funding wasn't immediately available. Nevertheless, I acted upon my strong intention to attend a major university by putting 90% of my savings into a special bank account on Guam. Upon my honorable discharge from a 4-year tour of duty, I had enough money in the bank to pay for my 4 years of college. The point is that making the choice to take advantage of thinking I can afford it puts two things into practice. One, universal cooperation is activated by aligning with a universe that has no limits or shortages, and two, you begin to act on what you're thinking about. Fourth excuse, no one will help me. This excuse belongs in the blame category. Is it always somebody else's fault that you're unable to manifest the happiness, success, and health you'd like? Do other people keep letting you down? Does it seem as if it's next to impossible to get things done because you can't find anybody to lend you a hand? I'm not suggesting that you're unable to accomplish your dreams without the assistance of others. Rather, I'd like you to consider the validity of the premise that there's no one there to help you. Put this fourth excuse to the truth test. Ask yourself if you can be 100% certain that there won't be anyone out there to help you or that you're in this all alone. If any possibility at all exists that there are people to help you, then you must reject this belief as a falsehood that you've chosen to use as a guidepost for your life. The fact is, there's a limitless number of potential helpers out there, but they may be kept away from you because you keep trying to validate an incorrect belief. Revise this excuse by affirming, whatever help I require will show up when I need it, and I trust that it's already here and on its way to help me fulfill my highest good. This kind of thinking is just as likely to be true or false as your original excuse is, so why not go with it? Such a favorable notion aligns you with how the universe truly works. There are billions of human beings on this planet, so why conclude that there's no one to help you accomplish what you feel called upon to create? The answer lies in the blame game, which is a meme planted in your mind by others who have been plagued by mind viruses also. It's just as likely that aid will be there when you need it as that it won't be there. So what's the point of using precious mental energy on an excuse that's much more likely to produce an undesirable outcome? You have the option of using that same energy to produce a desirable outcome. Shift your focus off of yourself and your ego desires and onto how may I serve? When you want for others what you'd like to have for yourself, you'll find that there's never a shortage of helpful, friendly, kind, understanding folks who can't seem to do enough for you. For every act of evil, anger, hatred, or indifference in the world, there are a million acts of kindness, assistance, and love. Choose to place your attention on all that is good and be done with this falsehood that no one will help me. If you're looking for no one to support you, I can guarantee you that the universe will present you with experiences mirroring your low expectations. On the other hand, if you believe that you're aligned with supportive energy, that's what will show up. Let go of this excuse by recognizing and reminding yourself that the belief that no one will be there for you does not hold up to the test of truth. There's no one to blame, and there are thousands of people out there who would love to offer you the aid and guidance you desire. Choose instead to know that you live in a universe that supports you at all times. Thomas Merton once wrote, quote, "We cannot possess the truth fully until it has entered into the very substance of our life by good habits," unquote. And that is precisely what the first question of the excuses be gone paradigm is designed to do. That is, it aims to help you eliminate counterproductive habits of thinking that are untrue but have become the substance of your life. The truth really will set you free. You no longer need excuse-making because the explanations you've been using for why your life isn't working simply don't hold up to the truth test. If you go through the 18 excuses in Chapter 3, and you just reviewed 4 of them, and examine each of them closely, you'll find that you can't give an unqualified yes to the question that's the topic of this chapter, is it true? If you have a choice to use an excuse that may or may not be false and will keep you stuck in place, or to use a different explanation and that still may or may not be false but leads you out of self-defeating thinking habits, which choice should you make? To me, the answer is obvious. Your goal is to develop habits that serve you and enhance your opportunity to maximize your success, happiness, and health. And that means eschewing those old excuses, which are just plain lies. Suggestions for applying the first paradigm question. First, whenever you're tempted to use an excuse to explain some deficiency in your life, or even after you've noticed that you just relied on a long-standing alibi, silently put the excuse to the truth test. Simply and honestly answer these two questions. Number one, is it true? And number two, can I be 100% certain that it's true? As you do, you'll discover that no excuse pattern holds up to this scrutiny. Even if you don't fully understand how you're going to accomplish this, tell yourself that you don't wish to continue vindicating yourself with false notions. This simple truth test will lead to further exploration of what else you can do to eliminate excuses. And secondly, create an explanation that reverses the excuse you're using. This explanation should be just as capable of being either true or untrue as your mental crutch, but the difference is that this explanation leads you away from self-defeat. Here's an example of what I mean. Excuse: I'm too old to pursue my college degree. Question: Is it true? Answer: It may be true, but it also may not be true. I can't be 100% certain that such a statement is rock-solid, guaranteed truth. In order to demolish this excuse that's been keeping you from pursuing a college degree, create the opposite thought of, I am the perfect age to pursue my college degree. By holding on to this new belief, which indeed may or not be 100% true, you open up a world of possibilities. The bonus is that you align yourself with the field of all possibilities and invite reinforcements to help you. Since neither your old excuse nor your new belief can be 100% guaranteed, and you're free to hold either of these two visions for yourself, why not select the one that will work for the highest aspirations you hold, rather than against it? The creative source that birthed you from non-being to being supports you in this endeavor. As it says in the Bible, quote, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Your insight has led you to all of the excuses you've relied upon for a good part of your life. The him in Proverbs is God, or the eternal Tao, which is the ultimate truth. Be receptive to revising your excuse formula. It may indeed be God calling you to his truth. Henry Ward Beecher offers heady advice on distinguishing what's true from what's false. Quote, pushing any truth out very far, you are met by a counter-truth. Unquote. I recommend giving just as much attention to the counter-truth as you have to the excuses that you've been treating as truth.